You could spend your whole life learning storytelling, and it'll be the most important design skill, I think, that anyone can learn.
This has been a common thread over the course of the last 80 or so interviews. You can create the most effective interfaces in the world, but as Gavin Nelson says, that's only part of the job.
Your job as a designer may be to like solve these problems and build these user experiences that like let someone get a job done. But the second part of your job is convincing the team of people you're working with that this is the right thing to build in this way at this time. I think you can do a lot of great work and none of it may ship if you don't have that second part of the skill set.
If you're listening to this, then you probably already know that storytelling is one of the most important tools that we as designers have at our disposal. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm like, man, what does it actually mean to be good at storytelling?
Everyone will just say, you need storytelling. And like the flippant thing I always say is, that's as helpful as saying, if you're building a house, just use bricks. It's so vague and unhelpful, and we can be much more disciplined about it.
So the goal of this episode is to make storytelling just a little bit more practical by breaking down some of the techniques that the best designers are using to present their work. So let's start by hearing a bit more from designer and storytelling coach Ian Wharton.
If you're selling an idea to a client or internally, chances are you get one shot to say it how you want to say it, and then you're dependent on that person to re-articulate your idea in your absence.
Oftentimes, it's the second conversation where people either buy into your idea or they send it to the grave. It's that Q3 planning call where your product lead brings up your demo from last week to leadership. That's why the key to effective storytelling is making sure your ideas are easily shared. Kind of like a meme. Now, I know when you hear the word meme, you probably think of Distracted Boyfriend or Futurama Fry or maybe the Drake Grid. But if we abstract what's really happening, a meme is simply a method of distilling an idea into a format that is, one, concise, two, memorable, and three, shareable. That's why I think we can learn a lot from this story from Kathy Zhang's time at GitHub.
I remember when I was like creating designs around the GitHub user profile, it was just like me trying to explain the problems around the profile that I was observing. First comic I made was this story that one of my peers who worked at GitHub told me, where she wears her GitHub hoodie. And she was on an airplane, had her laptop open, and she was like looking at her GitHub profile. And somebody passed her on the plane and she said that they asked her, oh, do you work at GitHub? And she was like, yes. And then the person was like, oh, but your graph, it's like not very green. Like there's not enough commits on your contribution graph. And then she just felt so gutted. So my comic just like told that story in three panels. I just anchored the whole like, okay, here's like the problem with the contribution graph and the problem it creates in the community and why people are like so polarized on it. It's an example of how to like condense that story into a format that maybe has the chance to meme itself. People will screenshot it and include it in other presentations when they're talking about a thing that is anchoring to the same problem or same user story. And then that thing just like proliferates.
Memes don't have to be images either. I mean, Dieter Ram's design philosophy can be summed up in three words as a meme: less but better. And that's why the language that we use to present our design concepts is so important.
I think sometimes it's helpful to name your explorations so that it's easy for people to grasp, like, oh, this is the drawer concept, and that is the sheet.
That's Yuan Wang, who was a design lead at Twitter, Airbnb, and now is the head of design at Maven. And I remember specifically when Yuan was leading a project to redesign the Maven marketplace. Now, she used data to shine a light on some potential opportunities. One of the problems she wanted to solve was making it easier for students to get the gist of a course without having to navigate to what we would call the CLP. It's how we refer to course landing pages on Maven. So at our weekly demos, she showed off a pretty nifty pop-up like this. Now, people liked the prototype, but she did something really genius while presenting it. She gave the concept a name. She called it the CL Peak. It was perfect because her prototype was a way for students to get a quick look, or dare I say, a peek into a course.
Then it's easy for them to also talk about them.
Sure enough, the idea behind CL Peak caught like wildfire. Because now, in only three syllables, Anyone on the team could reference her prototype and all of the surrounding conversation, data points, everything from that meeting. And as a result, the concept of CL Peak quickly gained popularity and the feature was shipped shortly after. But it's not just Yuan. I talked with Alex Cornell about his time designing the Linear mobile app, and he shared the same tactic.
You're now referring to these things as named entities, and maybe sometimes it's even worth giving them a name. You know, this is the no menu option. This is the gestural option or whatever. Then it gives people a vocabulary that they can use in their asynchronous message back.
Now, naming your concepts is a great tactic, but if you really want your ideas to stick with people, then you need to nail the inciting incident.
The inciting incident is the single most crucial part of any story that serves one function, which is to arrest your attention. And the inciting incident is the moment that happens almost always within the first 20% of a film or a story that turns the hero's world on its head. It's this major opposing force, the first major piece of conflict that the hero faces and then has to take action to try and overcome to address this major upheaval. Now, if you think about that and you care about the design and presence of the inciting incident, everything else you need comes out of it. So the inciting incident only matters if you create the world beforehand. So if you establish the world of the story and then you need to articulate your way to a resolution.
Stories are memorable. Facts and features, not so much. It's why when MetaLab was pitching ideas for the Upwork redesign, they leaned into how the pandemic forced companies to adapt to remote work.
To a certain point, you mimic the vibe of describing a movie in the same way that you describe a certain, let's say, piece of context, like the reason we're here. In the case of Upwork, it's like the pandemic has just suddenly changed everything almost overnight. And so many people are now working from home and learning that in a way that they wouldn't have been doing before. And to be able to use that and to intersperse, whether it's visually on slides like animated GIFs from movies that reinforce the emotion of the moment you're trying to describe, or whether it's just like mimicking not the tone of a movie trailer, but just some of the familiar paces, it's, you know, humans consume storytelling all the time, and it's just a way to make it interesting. Like, I think a boring conversation about product or a boring presentation is probably the death of good ideas. Even world-changing stuff, if you just crawl through it in a linear, methodical way, will just, you know, you'll lose your collaborators and your audience.
Inciting incidents exist in the micro, too. Maybe there's an unexpected change in the data, or maybe you identify an emotional high point where users feel anxious or overwhelmed in a given flow. Now you can use that as a way to tell a story that makes your designs more memorable. First, you create the user's world beforehand, then you really highlight that moment of conflict, and then you can propose your solution. So going back to our Q3 planning meeting, internalizing this moment of conflict is what empowers your product lead to effectively tell your story.
If you arm your person with the major piece of conflict and the way to overcome it, they are more able to re-articulate that idea onwards.
It reminds me of when research leader Noam Segal explained his framework for the pain-insight equilibrium.
Your insights become a lot more compelling when the pain that led to them is also just as clear. Let's say I'm a researcher at Duolingo, just did some research on this math product that's about to come out. And I have insights, you know, like we need to include this feature. One option would be to just TLDR it, just share that insight. Hello, executives, we need to put this feature for math learning in the product. That's the short version. You want the bottom line? That's the bottom line. Anyone from Duolingo CEO, their executive team, down to every single IC on every single product team working on this math product will feel a lot more compelled to act on it and will internalize the insight a lot better when the pain point that led to it is just as clear. How did we get to this insight? How did we get here? The brain craves that.
Real quick message, and then we can jump back into it. So I've been using this new product to do research called Genway. It uses AI-powered interviewers to help you gather qualitative data at basically an infinite scale. So I've actually been interviewing listeners of this show all over the world. I tell the AI what I'm hoping to learn, and then it has a dynamic conversation with each person. Genway then organizes all of the key insights for me automatically. So I learned more in a 2-week study than I had in a year and a half prior. Needless to say, I am totally hooked. And if you want to take your research to the next level, head to dive.club/Genway to get 2 months free. That's Genway. There's been a lot of talk recently on this show about the power of designers who can ship. And that's why I'm so excited about a new product called Desen. It allows you to ship design changes, but you don't have to write the code. Just open up your live app. Their extension overlays a Figma-like interface so that you can easily make design changes. And then their AI writes all the code and pushes it to your GitHub for you. That means you, as a designer, can now contribute directly to production. It's a pretty big deal, and you can start today. Head to dive.club/Desen. That's D-E-S-S-N. Now, another theme that keeps coming up on Dive Club is the importance of knowing your audience and tailoring your story accordingly. Here's Femke sharing a quick story from her time at Uber.
My number one tactic or recommendation for improving your storytelling or trying to get your ideas bought in easier is knowing your audience, knowing what their goals are, what they really care about, what their level of altitude is in the company. I remember back in my time at Uber, I was trying to tell a story to a senior product executive at the company. And I went like to ground zero. I was like, okay, all the context setting. And like, it took less than 2 minutes before he stopped me. And he was like, I get it. Like, let's see the outcomes.
Kathy Zhang also gave one of my favorite analogies ever shared on this show to go just a little bit deeper on this idea.
Some people really cared about metrics and qualitative anecdotes from users. Some people really cared about the perfect pixel view of that potential product. And the most helpful insight that I received from my head of design, Max Schoening, was this analogy he gave me, which is people are very different. They all see different sides of a Rubik's Cube. You have to learn which side to show them so that they realize that when you're talking about an idea, you're actually talking about the same thing.
If you're like me, then you're constantly looking for and saving design inspiration. But we can take that same practice and apply it to storytelling too. Here's Gabe Valdivia to land the plane.
If I were to go back, I would put more effort into finding reference points that show me what good storytelling is. Today, I spend a lot of time consuming content from comedians. I love film. I love reading. All of that influences what I can do as a designer. And maybe in the past, I thought of those as like separate worlds, where now I feel like there's more overlap between those worlds. And I feel more comfortable pulling a technique that I see a filmmaker do into a all hands presentation.
Hey, it's Rid. Don't forget, if you want to go even deeper, each week I send an email out to over 10,000 designers with bonus resources and key takeaways from these conversations. So head to dive.club/email to sign up. Okay, I'll see you next week.